I thank you so much, Lynn. Of course, you are the music director. Posted that just a little while ago, yes. And thanks all for being here, joining in on this Sunday morning. And as usual, we start off by just sharing what Awakening Together's purpose is. I'm going to post it on the board for all to see. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, many symbols, and we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. That seems to be so perfect for this morning's topic that we'll be speaking on a little while later. And for the five core values that I've selected, number one, which as soon as I read, I said, that's perfect for this morning, so here it is. We trust that everyone is led by a unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is the realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. Yes, so true. And that's actually what's going on in the world. Just so perfect for this morning's topic. I'd like to take an opportunity right now to read some of the announcements for Awakening Together. Awakening Together's quarterly member meeting will be held tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Regina Dawn Akers has some updates for you, including announcing who the speakers will be at the Awakening Together's 2017 retreat. The quarterly member meeting is also an opportunity for you to ask questions and provide feedback to the member board of trustees and the board of directors. Immediately following the member meeting, Regina will share the fourth installment of her six-week mini-series, Awakening at Home. Tonight's mini-series will focus on meditation and self-inquiry. The mini-series starts at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And here's a wonderful announcement. Regina will be interviewed by Rick Archer on his program, Buddha at the Gas Pump, this coming Saturday, December 10th at noon Eastern Time. That's 9 a.m. Pacific Time. The interview will be live streamed on YouTube. Live viewers can submit questions during the interview. To watch the live stream of this interview and to submit questions, go to batgap.com. That's BATGAP.com. Click Future Interviews and then Upcoming Interviews. You'll be able to watch the live stream the day of the event by clicking Click Here next to Regina's name. That link will become live about 24 hours before the interview. Be aware that the times listed on the BatGap page are Central Time. I just want to give my personal congratulations to you, Regina, for that. It's such an honor to be on Rick Archer's Buddha at the Gas Pump program. Finally, a new Awakening Together class is beginning in January. That class is Jesus of the New Testament. Jesus of the New Testament. It will be facilitated by Reverend Jacqueline Eckert. For centuries, Christian mystics have awakened to truth by contemplating the teachings of Jesus as written in the New Testament. What did they see in his teachings that traditional Christianity has been unable to see? Very interesting. Contemplate scripture as the mystics have and discover the answer for yourself. In this class, you'll become familiar with the life of Jesus as the story is told in the New Testament, while letting inner discernment bring forth clarity. It is a four-week class. The cost is $80. You will find full details at awakening-together.org under the classes menu. I think that completes the announcements for today. And this morning I did ask Cheryl Kaplan, who you all know, to be our reader. And as things go in my life, and I mention this so often, I really do live in this sea of synchronicity where everything always seems to be given to me exactly when I need it. I think at the moment that Regina asked me if I would stand in this morning as the minister, I said, sure, yes, of course I will, never really knowing what I'm going to speak about. But then it became very evident that Spirit wanted me to speak about today's topic. Everything started pointing in this direction, just about everything pointed in this direction, including all of a sudden noticing a lesson that I should have known and seen many moons ago, and somehow just evaded me. I just never really looked at it. I mean, of course I read it, of course I practiced it, but you know exactly what it says in the Course. Nothing is ever given to you until you're actually ready to receive it. And that was lesson 127. And what's funny about that is all those lessons from 121, which is forgiveness is the key to happiness, all the way up to 140 are my birthday lessons in a way. You know, most of you know I'm a Taurus, born on May 12th, which lesson 132 and 133 are my birthday lessons. I know all those lessons around it, and somehow I never really looked at 127 until just now. And I'm going to turn this mic over to Cheryl to actually read from lesson 127, which I think, if you really close your eyes and just listen to the words that are being said, probably anything that I can say after that is not going to add anything to it, because it's really going to be the exact same thing. It really does say it all. Without further ado, turning this mic over to you, Cheryl Kaplan, the mic is all yours.
Good morning, everyone. Okay. Lesson 127. There is no love but God's. Perhaps you think that different kinds of love are possible. Perhaps you think there is a kind of love for this, kind of love for that, loving one, another way of loving still another. Love is one. It has no separate parts and no degrees, no kinds nor levels, no divergences, and no distinctions. It is like itself, unchanged throughout. It never alters with a person or a circumstance. It is the heart of God and also of His Son. Love's meaning is obscure to anyone who thinks that love can change. He does not see that changing love must be impossible. And thus he thinks that he can love at times and hate at other times. He also thinks that love can be bestowed one on one and yet remain itself, although it is withheld from others. To believe these things of love is not to understand it. If it could make such distinctions, it would have to judge between the righteous and the sinner, and perceive the Son of God in separate parts. Love cannot judge. It is one itself. It looks on all as one. Its meaning lies in oneness. And it must elude the mind that thinks of it as partial or in part. There is no love but God's, and all of love is His. There is no other principle that rules where love is not. Love is a law without an opposite. Its wholeness is the power holding everything as one. The link between the Father and the Son, which holds them both forever as the same. I'm going to read that sentence over again. Its wholeness is the power holding everything as one. The link between the Father and the Son, which holds them both forever as the same. No course whose purpose is to teach you to remember what you really are could fail to emphasize that there can never be a difference in what you really are and what love is. Love's meaning is your own and shared by God Himself. For what you are is what He is. There is no love but His. And what He is everything there is. There is no limit placed upon Himself, and so are you unlimited as well. No law the world obeys can help you grasp love's meaning. What the world believes was made to hide love's meaning and to keep it dark and secret. There is no one principle the world upholds, but violates the truth of what love is, and what you are as well. Seek not within the world to find your self, capital S. Love is not found in darkness and in death. Yet it is perfectly apparent to the eyes that see and ears that hear love's voice. Today, we practice making free your mind of all the laws you think you must obey, of all the limits under which you live, and all the changes that you think are part of human destiny. Today, we take the largest single step this course requests in your advance towards its established goal. If you achieve the faintest glimmering of what love means today, you have advanced in distance, without measure, and in time, beyond the count of years to your release. Let us together, then, be glad to give some time to God today, and understand there is no better use for this time than this. Call to your Father, certain that His voice will answer. He Himself has promised this, and He Himself will place a spark of truth within your mind wherever you give up a false belief, a dark illusion of your own reality and what love means. He will shine through your idle thoughts today and help you understand the truth of love. In loving gentleness, He will abide with you as you allow His voice to teach love's meaning to your clean and open mind. And He will bless the lesson with His love. Today, the legion of the future years of waiting for salvation disappears before the timelessness of what you learn. Let us give thanks today that we are spared a future like the past. Today, we leave the past behind us, never more to be remembered. And we raise our eyes upon a different present, where a future dawns unlike the past in every. The world in infancy is newly born, and we will watch it grow in strength to shed its blessing upon all who come to learn to cast aside the world they thought was made in hate to be love's enemy. Now are they all made free, along with us. Now are they all our brothers in. We will remember them throughout the day, because we cannot leave a part of us outside our love if we would know our self, capital S. At least 3 times an hour, think of one who makes the journey with you and who came to learn what you must learn. And as he comes to mind, give him this message from your self. I bless you, brother, with the love of God, which I would share with you, for I would learn the joyous lesson that there is no love but God's, and yours, and mine, and everyone's. Amen. Thank you, everyone. I love you.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for that reading. And the last thing she read was the part that's in italics in that lesson. I bless you, brother, with the love of God, which I would share with you, We're going to be speaking about that today, actually. I bless you, brother, with the love of God, which I would share with you. I was asked about what the topic is going to be for today, and originally the topic was a line from the Course in Miracles that said, "For the function of love is one." For the function of love is one. You find that in the Rewards of God, chapter 4, section 6, paragraph 8. That's the same paragraph that says, "Salvation is a collaborative venture." Yes, we're all in this together. Everybody in our dream, in our life, is the perfect one for us to be practicing exactly what Cheryl just shared in italics. "I bless you, brother, with the love of God, which I would share with you." You know, the idea that this lesson somehow I never really looked at in a way that I look at some of the other lessons was I wasn't really ready for it. Because I guess I looked at lesson 127, it says, "There is no love but God's." And I said, well, yeah, that's true. And I was still thinking of, you know, the ego's way of looking at love. You know, well, God shines on all the same equally, and well, I'm just not there yet, you know, I'm just not there yet. But that's using the ego's way of seeing love. You know, well, how do you love everyone? You know, I really try my best. When I said everything is given to me in synchronicity, yes, along came not only lesson 127, but a quote from Dr. David Hawkins, one of the great teachers of A Course in Miracles, who wrote the following. "Love is misunderstood to be an emotion. Actually, it's a state of awareness, a way of being in the world, a way of seeing oneself and others." Yes, when you put that together with what we read in lesson, what Cheryl read in lesson 127, if you were contemplating it, there is no love but God's. He says, perhaps you think there's a different kind of love. I love one person this way, I love another person that way, and sometimes I don't love the person at all. No, that is the world's way of looking at love. You know, there's, you know, this emotional love. No, it's an awareness of our oneness. It's an awareness of our oneness. I saw that Regina wrote up here a little bit earlier. Basically, the very first thing she said is, "Love is a law without opposite." Love is a law without an opposite. Yes. Love is all-encompassing. There is nothing outside of the love of God. There's nothing outside of the love of God. While looking at lesson 127, I just came across the fact that I never really noticed 126. And if you know the way I look at the lessons, that they're all connected perfectly. And took a look at lesson 126, and what do you think it is? It's what's the one that I call the law of one. All that I give is given to myself. All that I give is given to myself. I'm just going to read the first paragraph because it's so good. It says, "Today's idea, completely alien to the ego and the thinking of the world, is crucial to the thought reversal that this course will bring about. If you believe this statement, there would be no problem in complete forgiveness, certainty of goal, and sure direction. You would understand the means by which salvation comes to you, and you would not hesitate to use it now." I think the key word is now. I just want to put in the other thing. All these things came to me just about the same time when I knew I was going to be speaking today on this Sunday morning. I was listening to Regina a couple of Wednesdays ago. She teaches from 2:30 to 3:30, and she was teaching on N.T.I. John, the last chapter, I guess, which she has in her book, Jesus Reinstates Peter. And I was listening, and Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, well, you know, sure, Jesus, you know, of course I love you. Jesus says again, Peter, do you love me? Well, of course I love you. Of course, yeah, of course. Jesus says again, Peter, do you love me? At this point, Peter gets irritated. Peter gets irritated. Why are you asking me three times? I mean, didn't you get my answer the first time? And so we see that the love of the head, the stuff that we think of in conceptual form, will always have an answer for that question, of course I love you, or, well, I used to love you, or, you know. But then finally I hear Regina says, no, as he drops down to the heart, he drops down to the heart, the love of the heart, which is exactly what Cheryl was reading in the very first paragraph where it says, it never alters with a person or a circumstance. It's the heart of God and also of his son. So in the heart, we are all connected. We are all one. This is what love is. This is when he said truth is, God is, love is, peace is. It's a oneness that we are all connected in the heart of God. For sure. I mean, this is eternal, changeless. Nothing could ever change that. Well, and you know, as you get up into your cerebral understandings, well, yeah, of course I love you. You know, you've done so much for me. Why wouldn't I love you? That has nothing to do with the love of God. That has nothing to do. Of course, those people who do the Course recognize that that is what the Course calls special love, conditional love. Well, I love you as long as you're here and doing all those wonderful things for me. And that is not the love of God. So, no wonder when I looked at that, there is no love but God. Somehow, even though I must have done the lessons a few times, it never really occurred to me what it was really saying until just now. But let's take a look at probably what that's about. It came to me this morning. I knew that Spirit wanted me to speak a little about this. You know, everybody grows up in some kind of a religion. You know, so my religion was the Jewish religion, and I'm thinking, you know, this is just my own idea. That doesn't mean that it's true for all, but you know, you go to temple, synagogue, and you know, you're really asking for the Lord's blessings. You know, I really want to do good. I want to fix the world. I want to receive. God's blessings. I want to receive God's blessings. So I'm going to really, you know, walk the straight and narrow. I'm going to do the best I can. And I don't care what religion you're in. Basically, that's pretty much what religion is about. That, yes, I'm asking for forgiveness. I want your blessings. I want your love. I want this. I want that. The love of God is given in our creation. His blessing is always the same. We are blessed. We are blessed. Yes, the only way you're ever going to know that you're blessed is to give your full blessings to all. And who are you giving it to? Are you giving it to somebody that's outside of you that you have to kind of analyze and judge and figure out if they deserve your blessings? Or actually, as it says in Lesson 126, before we even get to there is no love but God's, all that I give is given to myself. All that I give is given to myself. So by the time you get up to Lesson 187, I bless the world because I bless myself. It says, give gladly, you can only gain thereby. Yes, we're always giving to ourselves. There's a place in the Course that says, if you're not wholly joyous, you must have withheld love from one of God's creations. Just one of God's creations. And of course, who is that one that we are withholding from? Is this someone outside of me that I don't think deserves God's blessings, the joy of God? Or am I withholding it from myself? This is what makes forgiveness so easy. Who am I forgiving? Is this someone outside of me that I'm forgiving? No, the forgiveness, the true forgiveness is always of all the defenses that I've made up in my head against the truth, against the truth. That's why the last unanswered question isn't, do I want the peace of God? As he says, of course you're going to say yes. What difference does that make when somebody says the wrong thing to you? No. The last unanswered question is, am I willing to see what I denied because it's the truth? Yes, I am totally blessed. I've always been totally blessed. I am totally loved. But am I sharing that love with all? It's in the idea of giving all to all that reverses all the laws of this world. Of course, they aren't even laws. They're just limitations, thinking that some deserve more than others. Some shouldn't get any at all. Those are the laws of chaos, of anarchy. Do I really want to live in that kind of a world? So when it says, I bless the world because I bless myself. Yes, when I give full blessings that I have received always, there's never been a time that I have not been totally loved, totally blessed, and to share those blessings with all, to see all as the same, as one. I am one self united with my Creator. There's nothing outside of that one self. As it says in the Course, what is heaven? We speak a lot about heaven, but heaven is just the experience of oneness. So you can see how words, which are twice removed from the experience, are always getting in the way because I'm always saying, well, you know, I really want God's blessings. I really want to love everybody. But in the thought system of the ego, which is the thought system that we were born into, not by accident, of course, not by accident, nothing happens here by accident. We have chosen it. We have chosen it, yeah. And now that I have chosen it, I can withdraw my investment in it. And one of the ways you withdraw your investment in it is to withdraw your investment in the words that tell us what I am thinking. Actually, we're not really thinking at all. We're making it all up based on our belief in the world as cause and is me at effect. And I say, well, you know, I'm getting the short end of the stick, you know. I have to get mine first before I can give any to anybody else. I'm thinking of the words that Michael Langford said to Regina when she first started speaking to him. That was probably way back in April, I guess. And he says, you know, the language that we speak, the words that we use in our thinking, I guess, as well as the words we speak, you didn't bring with you. You didn't bring with you. You learned them here in this world that we made apart from the love of God. So words have all kinds of meanings to all kinds of people. So you can see how the idea that there is no love but God's doesn't have, you know, much meaning to anyone who has already an idea of what love is. Well, I know what love is. I know what love is not, and I don't think that you're so loving. But as David Hawkins says, no, love is misunderstood. You think it's an emotion that you have to, quote, have this special love for somebody. No, actually, it's a state of awareness. It's a way of being in the world, being in the world. The being and the having are the same. There's no doing in being. It's a way of seeing oneself and others as we truly are joined, that we are joined as one. No wonder it basically says, you know, in that, where I got the, in that thing called The Rewards of God, chapter 4, section 6, where the very last line, and I've often looked at that last line, I always thought, wow, what a great line that is. It's the one that says, because the function of love is one. I think that that's the line that actually turned me around to actually begin to recognize that I was all wrong, just like I've been all wrong about everything. I've been all wrong about thinking that I know what love is, and I, you know, of course, if you know what love is, then you also think you also know what love is not. It basically says in that paragraph, it says, as you come closer to a brother, you approach me, and as you withdraw from your brother, I become distant to you. Now, I, you, me, all those pronouns, which if you really contemplate, it's all really about our one self. It says salvation is a collaborative venture. It can't be undertaken successfully by those who disengage themselves from the sonship, because they're disengaging themselves from me. God will come to you only, I love this, God will come to you only as you will give him to your brothers. Wow. Imagine contemplating that sentence. You know, everyone's saying, well, you know, I want to understand God, I want to reach God, I want to know God, I want this, I want... And he says it right here very simply. No, you don't have to learn how to get to God. God will come to you only as you will give him to your brothers. Learn first of them and you'll be ready to hear God. And that's because the function of love is one. The function of love is one. So what am I doing? Am I trying to figure out what my brother's agenda is? Or am I recognizing that I am one, that I and my brother are one? I trust my brothers who are one with me. Isn't that one of the 20 most powerful lessons in the Course? Lesson 181, as the author of the Course says, any one of these lessons is the entire Course. I trust my brothers who are one with me. That is Lynn Johnson's favorite lesson. Yeah, it really does get down to trust. And who am I really trusting in? Do I have a lot of brothers out there? I'm really trusting in my one self. As I heard Regina say many moons ago, I don't have to go to the Holy Spirit anymore. I am Holy Spirit. I hope I didn't misquote that, by the way. But that's pretty much what is being said here, that I am one self. That nowhere does it say the Father ends and the Son begins. Nowhere does it say the Father ends. Cause, effect have no separation. The only difference is I am not cause, I am effect, but they are one. And who am I trusting? Our one self. That's all that's going on. And, you know, I posted here a little bit earlier. I realized later I shouldn't have been posting it on the board at all, but I did want to kind of bring this up, because under trust in the Manual for Teachers of A Course in Miracles, it has this wonderful line that somehow says it all if I'm ready to hear it. It says, the teachers of God have trust in the world. Wow. I can see trusting my brother who was one with me, but trusting in the world? Really? Because they have learned it's not governed by the laws that the world made up. The world can't make up any laws. It's an effect. It's an effect. It's what I made as a shabby substitute for the truth, for the grandeur of creation. We all share the same purpose, the same goal, the same interest. It's learned, because they have learned, it's not governed by the laws the world made up. It's governed by a power that is in them, but not of them. That's exactly what we're saying. The Father and the Son are one. The power, all power is given to us. Now, unless I feel that I want that power for myself, and to hell with all else, that power is shared by all for remembering the truth that we are one. It's in that union. It's in that oneness. It's in the recognition that a universal religion is impossible, but a universal shared experience is not only possible, but it's necessary. It's this power that keeps all things safe. So when I say, I want to be blessed, give me your blessings. We are blessed. We are saved. This has always been the truth, that we are all perfectly cared for. There's never been a time. Well, the ego might say, well, I have a couple of complaints about that. I have a few grievances. But, you know, he's never speaking to the ego. He's speaking to the Son of God, who may have temporarily identified himself with the mind-body-ego, but the love is the awareness of our true strength. Yes, if I have grievances, I'm going to say there's something out there that's doing something to me, and I must defend myself. And it's in my defensiveness, it's in my thinking I need protection to push others away who may hurt me. in which I spend a lot of my daytime dreaming time. There's no difference between your nighttime dreams and your daytime dreams. A dream is a dream. You're dreaming. So as I'm willing to remove all the defenses from my mind, and that's what forgiveness does. It removes the belief system. And of course, every belief has a lie at its center. Every belief has a lie. When you spell that word belief, there's a lie right in the center. As you remove your belief system through forgiveness, you find that life doesn't have a big if in the middle of it, as you spell life, L-I-F-E. No, life has God at its center. I don't have to come to God and ask for whatever, like I don't have it. I have to just remember the truth that I have been given all, that all have been given all, and this is the truth, that we are one. There's that word one, for the function of love is one. That we are one. Reminds me of the holiest words in the Jewish religion. It's people have died rather than to do anything other than to sing these words. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear all, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. One. Actually, the word Lord, for those people who look into words, really came, you know, kind of from that St. James Version, King James Version, excuse me, King James Version, where the word Lord is another word for the word law, law. The law of God is one. The law of God is one. So really saying that oneness is the law, that what I give to myself, that is the law of one. It's so simple when you see that that's the only thing that's happening here, that whatever you give, you're giving to yourself. You can't possibly be giving it to anyone else. There's nothing else, exactly as Regina says, love is a law without an opposite. That which is all-encompassing has no opposite. There's nothing out there. We are one. Thy will be done. Our will is one. Our will is done. There's nothing outside of the will of God that we share that one will. There's not two wills. And what is our will in this world? To forgive everything that I was mistaken about. To accept the at-one-ment is to remember the truth, to go back before the Garden of Eden and recognize that nothing in that dream that I could have possibly picked a fruit of a tree that I wasn't supposed to pick from could possibly have happened. And that my whole life being lived in the belief in sin and guilt and fear of punishment, because guilt does demand punishment, was a lie. It was a belief system. And there's no need to hold on to any remnant of it. To start with a clean slate, a beginner's mind, a new mind, but that new mind has been with us forever and ever and ever. It's not new, it's eternal, it's changeless, it's love. It's one mind. Okay, thanking everyone for joining and listening. I thank the Holy Spirit, which is my one self, for giving me all of this to share. I'm going to turn this mic over to, well, Barb is going to put up a link for any donations that you might want to give at this time for Awakening Together, and certainly we would really appreciate anything that you would want to donate at this time. And to turn the mic on over for some beautiful music. Thank you so much, Lynn. The mic is all yours.
I've got to take a little time, a little time to think things over. Between the lines, in case I need it when I'm older. Now this mountain I must climb feels like a world upon my shoulder. Clouds I see love shine, it keeps me warm as life grows colder. In my life there's been heartache and pain, I don't know if I can face it again. Can't stop now, I've traveled so far to change. Like love has finally found me. In my life there's been heartache and pain, I don't know if I can face it again. Can't stop now, I've traveled so far to change this lonely life. I wanna know what love is.
Okay, what a perfect song. What a perfect song. Show me what love is. Of course, no one has to show anyone what love is. Love is. It's an isness. It's an isness. Yeah. As I was listening to the music, I know the Holy Spirit gave me the following to kind of add. That story that Regina was telling about the reinstatement, Jesus reinstates Peter. But the only one that can really reinstate us is us. I mean, who is Jesus, of course, you know? Is it someone outside of us? No, it's the love of God from beyond this world, that this love reinstates us. But we have to be aware that this is what love is. It's an isness. It's always been. We have always been reinstated. There's never been a time that we have not been reinstated. There's no reinstatement. Unless, of course, like Peter, you know, he got a little irritated. You know, why are you asking me three times, Jesus? You think I'm stupid or something? Well, you know, he kind of took it as an insult. And as John Mundy and Carl Nethercutt, one of the teachers here from many years ago, said, only the ego can be offended. Only the ego can be insulted. So when I'm in my ego thought system, of course I don't know what love is, because it's always out for itself, trying to get what it needs before anyone else gets theirs. And of course, that's why the world looks exactly the way it does. But when you look at the truth, the world is actually perfect the way it is. It really is, because if you're looking through the body's eyes and listening to the body's ears, you can say, boy, this place needs a lot of fixing up. I'm always speaking about myself. There's never a time I'm not speaking about myself. Never a time. There's only one self. Okay, it's that time for any thoughts. Anybody have anything they want to share? Maybe something was said that prompted you to share something that inspired you, or any questions, anyone at all. Love to hear from any and all, for we are one. And recognize that whatever is coming up for you is coming up for all of us. It's coming up from the one mind. It really is coming up from the one mind. Jay, this mic is all yours. Thank you so much.
Hey, just seeing if everybody can hear me. You know, it's an interesting subject you were talking about today with love and the song that Lynn played. And you talked about how our dreams of our waking life are actually indistinguishable from the dreams of our sleeping life. And last night I had a really powerful dream about being on this beautiful landscape and having this profound feeling of love that was really powerful, really intense. And I started to surrender into that love in a very complete way. And I felt it consuming me, like destroying me, like the small self, like it was consuming me. And I didn't quite go further past when I realized it was consuming me. Probably should have. But there was other elements of the dream sort of before that, but very long dream. But it was just this most amazing feeling of love. And I guess that's the lesson, is that when you truly do surrender to that love of God, not the God that's outside of the self, but the God that's within, the God that's everywhere and in everything, you are consumed. There is no more small self. There's only love everywhere and everything. So, awesome sermon and message and song, and it really tied to my own experience just today, just yesterday. So, give me the mic up.
Morning, everyone.
Thank you for a beautiful, beautiful message. Wow, you guys, Jay, you shared your dream. Mine was as I was sitting here contemplating and meditating, I was taken into this beautiful meadow and beautiful lake. It was like almost like a amphitheater. And with my eyes closed, was so many beings of light. I mean, I don't know how to explain it, so just, but the beings of light, we were all like all one. And Christ was standing in this amphitheater and speaking words, and he was using like your body, Dove, or, and speaking through you to us. And we were just all, we're just being healed right now, this moment, this instant, in that there is no time or space or anything. We're just filled and surrounded with the light and the love of our Creator, and that's what we are. And that just to allow and accept and just be the instrument, just be the instrument of His love and light, and not to worry about the words we're going to say or how we're going to say it or where it's going to come or blah, blah, blah. None of this stuff. Just let it unfold and just keep blessing. Keep blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing with that love and that light of the Holy Spirit is who we truly are. And let the body just be as an instrument of his love and his light. I'm just bathing in this and allowing and letting, and it's just so, so beautiful. It's very hard to describe in words, but just let all things be exactly as they are. And just behold the light of Christ in everything. You know, God is in everything I see, because God is in my mind, in my heart. And it's not the human mind or the human heart. It's above all this perception, is from my spirit that is within me. I'm just so grateful, you guys. Thank you so much. And God bless each and every one of you. Thank you. I'm going to drop it.
Thank you, Christina. You're so beautiful. I love you so much. I love this. Thank you so much, Dove. This lesson today, I guess that is the lesson of my quest. It's what I'm here for. I know I heard Regina talking the other day about, I think, spiritual aspiration. And it is my spiritual aspiration. It's my only aspiration, is to love, and to know the love of God, feel it, know it, and be it through all things. And this questioning of Peter that Jesus was doing is a questioning of us as well. And he says, you know, do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. If you really love me, shepherd my lambs, shepherd my sheep. He really is pointing out to us that if you love God, if you love the Lord, then the way that you do it is through service, through loving, through giving, not giving of things, but of just giving of the being of who people are. I was listening to Byron Katie the other day, and she had talked before about her experience in A Thousand Names for Joy. She talked about her experience of a man putting a gun to her and telling her that he was going to kill her. And I had heard that story many times, but in this recording, she talked about that experience a little more, and she said that what happened to her when this occurred, she saw this man who was so frightened and so in terror that his only thought was that, you know, to get rid of or to kill this person. And when she saw that, she was just filled with so much love for him. She was filled with so much love to be looking into his face. And she thought, if he kills me, this will be the last face that I ever saw. And it filled her with so much love and so much joy that that's all she could do was love the man. That is really what we're all about. I imagine when they were putting Jesus on the cross, that he was looking at them that way as well. We can't be whole without our brother, all of us together. This is why I trust my brother who is one with me, not because I'm giving him the gift of being one and saying, oh good, you can be the same as me. I'm being generous and letting you be equal with me. No, it's not that. It is that is what we are. And what I am is one. And so the idea that I can give you a gift of oneness, that I can give you a gift of sameness, that I can give you a gift of equality, I can't. But I can receive that from you. And I can be grateful for our oneness. I can receive that from you because giving and receiving are the same thing. And when I see that we are one being and that everyone is the Christ, that is the most joyful gift in the world. It's the most joyful thing that it can occur. And so I can't emphasize enough. This is the only way. You know, you can do a lot of other things, but really the only way is to join with your brother as one. And then you see your own holiness. You see God in you, and you feel the love of God within you always. And that feeling of the love of God in my heart is the only spiritual aspiration that I have, the knowing of God in my own being, and to act and react only from that knowing. So thank you, Dove. I'm sorry for being so long-winded, but I was inspired. So here's the mic back.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Lynn and Christina. Before that, I'm going to wind this up. I know we have a fellowship hour ahead, so please stay for fellowship led by Reverend Ken and Rebecca Gibson. I just wanted to say that as long as we're going back to speak about what Jesus said to Peter in the reinstatement, actually, if you heard the original sharing by Regina, then Jesus asked a fourth time. He didn't stop after the third when Peter got a little upset at being asked so often. He said, Peter, do you love me? And when we drop down into the heart of truth, where we all truly live, only the truth is true and nothing else is true. That which is real can't be threatened in any way. It's always the truth. We we recognize that we have always been reinstated or at home. And as Jesus, who of course was certainly a student of his religion at the time, certainly he got bar mitzvah when he was 13 and was a student of the Torah and of the Bible, he of course knew the words Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad as the holiest words in his religion, and reinterpreted for what it was saying in those days, not according to the King James version of the Bible, but in those days it literally said, "Hear, all of Israel, all people everywhere, our Father is our King. Our Father is one." So there's only one King on the throne, no one except in dreams can usurp the throne of cause, for we are the loving effect, for love gives all of itself to all. Thank you so much for listening. Turning this mic on over to you, Rev Ken and Rev Rebecca. Thank you so much.
Love is free.